And that is a rendition of Evening and Morning. And that is a hymn that we're going to be taking a look at on this Tuesday, June the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. Normally I have with me Pastor Mark Smith. He's running a little late, perhaps some traffic problems, but we'll go ahead with the hymn. I'm Tom Baker, and of course, we encourage you to support Law and Gospel. By the way, at the end of our program, you'll hear where to send the checks to, made out to Law and Gospel. It's a post office box, so have your pencil and paper ready for the ending. Again, I want to thank the good people at St. Paul's Wildwood for a wonderful seminar, a sermon, Bible study, and we just had a lot of people interested in the videos that I have about Law and Gospel. By the way, a number of those videos come from my website. You can join it simply by paying $10 a month automatically out of your credit card, and you get one video or a book or an audio or something every week. That's right, every week. We're at 90 this week. I'll be making the 90th one up, so it's almost over 2 years. And for $10, you get 4 items every month. And right now, for June and July, anybody who joins, I'm going to give you free the first 8 weeks. So if I see you up there, take a look a day or two after, and you'll be up there for 8 weeks. Evening and Morning. First of all, this is a great hymn simply because of who wrote it. Paul Gerhardt died in 1676 and is a well-known Lutheran theologian. He does some marvelous writings in what Lutheranism is really about, which, from my point of view, is no different than what the Bible is really about. Anytime Lutheran theology is correct, it's because it's a summary of the scripture. And when you hear a Lutheran and he's incorrect, or she's incorrect sometimes now with women pastors, you know that that's not Lutheranism because it doesn't jive with the Bible. Evening and morning, sunset and dawning, wealth, peace, and gladness, comfort in sadness. These are thy works. All the glory be thine, times without number, awake or in slumber. Thine eye observe us, from danger preserves us, causing thy mercy upon us to shine. On the way in on the news, they were talking about how some people are protesting these cameras that are appearing on every corner, on the streets, this sort of thing. And what they were protesting was facial recognition. In other words, this is very interesting. Because of the ability of foreign governments to break into our system, they may have a lot of information, particularly about federal employees. Well, what this face recognition apparatus and software tells you, if a foreign government sees that, or even somebody in the United States who has bad ideas about things, they'll see you walking down the street. They may even know where your wife is if you're married, your children are in school. Well, guess what? That means your house is empty. So they can go and rob it because they've got a facial recognition of you being miles away from your home. And so people are protesting that they don't like this. I mean, if it was just the government who had it and were looking for terrorists or something, that'd be something. But for example, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, what's wrong with the government knowing every phone number I call? They still don't hear what I have to say. Well, that'd be kind of interesting if your phone numbers are being sent, if you're phoning, for example, women who are not your wife, or an abortion clinic, or a suicide prevention, a person can find out a lot about you simply by knowing who you're calling. They don't have to listen. So I, as a pastor, don't come down either way on this because I'd have to have a Bible verse. I can understand why they're doing this so that if somebody is calling Syria a lot, they can kind of maybe get a warrant and find out what they're saying. So I can see the good of it, but with the ability now of certain computer whiz kids being able to get into this and find out about you, we're really living in an interesting time. Many of you will notice that when you send me an email and it has a doctrinal question, I rarely answer it through email. I ask you instead to give me your phone number, and I'll phone you. And that's because I found I'll give an answer that I think is great, but the person who emailed me, that's not what they were really asking. They were asking something a little different. Or they have a circumstance that just doesn't quite fit. So I can end up writing back and forth 10, 20 times. A phone call is so much easier. And by the way, you can phone me and leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you at 1-877-267-1962. Now, why am I bringing up these facial recognition? Well, there's a phrase in this verse, first verse, awake or in slumber, thine eye observes us. You can't, and many times we are like this, like Adam and Eve, and we attempt to hide from God, but it will never happen. By the way, I just realize why Pastor Mark Smith isn't here today. There's a district convention of the Missouri District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have 35 districts throughout the land, and they're in convention today. So I just forgot that. So he's not stuck in traffic. He's at a convention, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Okay, so I am by myself today. Going on then, notice why God's eye observes you. From danger preserves us. Wow. That's why God's eye observes us. To protect us, to watch over us, and causing thy mercy upon us to shine. What's mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So we are poor, miserable sinners. We really deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But God is merciful toward us. And therefore, he really changes us. Yesterday on Issues, Etc., I was doing the Sunday school lesson, and we're talking about the Trinity, and this is how God preserves us. And was talking about Elijah and that widow of Zarephath who gave him something to eat, but then she ran out of flour and oil. And God told Elijah to tell her, go make food for yourself because it will never run out, that container of flour and oil, until the drought ends. There was a drought as punishment to the people for what they were doing. So, sure enough, that's what happens. Now, she has all the flour and oil. She could keep making those things until the drought ends, and it took a couple of years. Elijah was staying at her home. Guess what? Her son dies. And immediately, you know what her reaction is? Elijah, you know, the man of God, has come to remember my sin. Cause me to remember my sins. She is a person living under the law. She thinks God is a God of justice, getting even with you with sins done. Talk about how merciful God is toward her. Elijah goes up to the child, lies on him three times, which is kind of interesting, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the child rises from the dead. Elijah prays that life will be restored into him. Very, very interesting. And then she says, I know that you are indeed speaking the word of the true God. But you see, it's just not unbelievers. It's just not Christians. It's even many Lutherans. Something bad happens to you, and what's your first response? What did I do to deserve this? We think of God as a God of justice rather than the merciful God he is, with his eye observing us at all times in order to preserve us from danger. Even when God said to Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" and they were trying to hide in a bush where God was, because he's omnipresent, he did that in order to give a promise through the serpent, namely that his seed will attempt to crush the Messiah, but the Messiah will crush his head. Now, Eve thought that Cain was the fulfillment of that promise when he was born, but he was not the Messiah, he was the first murderer. And it wasn't until Mary, centuries later, that that promise came to fulfillment. So, we believe, teach, and confess when we think of evening and morning, sunset and dawning, wealth, peace, and gladness, comfort and sadness. These are not things that I brought on myself. These are the works of God working through me. And therefore, and this is the main theme of the Gerhard hymn, all the glory is God's. Stanza 2. Father, oh, hear me, pardon and spare me, calm all my terrors, blot out my errors, that by thine eyes they may no more be scanned. Order my goings, direct all my doings, as it may please thee, retain or release me, all I commit to thy fatherly hand. Wow. Isn't that interesting? So, we're asking the Father to hear us, and how? Pardoning and sparing us, and calming our terrors by blotting out my errors. Now, what does it mean to blot out? Well, sometimes, let's say you're working on a piece of paper and you spill some water on it. And immediately you pick up a towel and try to blot it out, which means take away the water so the ink won't run. Well, guess what? That's what God does. He blots out your errors, only he doesn't put on it water. He puts on it the blood of Christ. He died. His blood was shed for you, that by thine eyes they may no more be scanned. I find that interesting because the translator died in 1942, Herman Bruckner. And I'm wondering if he had the same idea of scanning. I'm not sure that the scanning apparatus were around. Maybe it was, you know, where you put something on a copier and you get it scanned. For instance, I had to send a check and I scan it first, then I make it a PDF, then I attach it to an email and off it goes. So scanning really can also just mean watching over you at all times. And we don't want God to continue to scan our sins because that would leave us in terror. For we fear love and trust in God because we know he has the ability to not save us, but he does. And then we ask that he would order all our goings, direct all our doings as it may please thee. That's very important, which means there's nothing that's happening in your life that God is not watching over. He's directing. So nothing ever happens to you that is not a blessing from God. Stanza 3. Ills that still grieve me soon are to leave me, though billows tower and winds gain power, after the storm the fair sun shows its face, joys ever increasing and peace never ceasing. These shall I treasure and share in full measure when in his mansions God grants me a place. Now, that last line indicates what the first line says. Ills that still grieve me soon are to leave me. When are these ills really going to leave you? When God in his mansion grants you a place. We're talking about after judgment day. So, while you're here on earth, there's always a cross. And in yesterday's Sunday school lesson, and you can listen to that, by the way, you can go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or you can go to the CPH website, cph.org/podcast. That's PODCAST, cph.org/podcast. And you can get like the last six lessons that we did for Sunday school, including the one coming up this Sunday. So when we talk about that, the ills that still grieve me, I remember the Sunday school lesson that what was the purpose of allowing the son of the woman to die, the widow, was to give glory to God. And by the way, this hymn is being sung this Sunday, and the gospel reading, Jesus is in the boat asleep, and it's starting to sink. And, oh boy, the disciples wake him up. Look at the billows. The wind's gaining power. We're in a storm. But by the way, in 1986, they found a boat from the time of Jesus, and it was large enough to put 12 people in it, but it was only 4 feet high, which means that any big storm easily could overcome with the waves and the wind. So they were probably rightly afraid. Jesus wakes up, and he first of all criticizes the storm, peace be still, and it is. But then he criticizes the disciples, have you no faith? Well, why are you afraid? And the point I made yesterday, and you can hear the whole thing if you listen to it, would Jesus have said that to people on the Titanic? No. They were rightly to be afraid. It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, would somebody have come up to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as I said yesterday, and say, why are you afraid? Don't you have faith? The reason Jesus can say that to the disciples is the faith he's talking about includes the promises from the Old Testament that he will die by being pierced in hands and feet on a hill outside of Jerusalem after being whipped. None of that is happening in the Sea of Galilee. So he sleeps comfortably, knowing that neither he nor the disciples will die due to that storm. So I wouldn't say that to people who can be rightly afraid, where there is no promise from God that they will be delivered. Well, they'll finally be delivered, as this text says, that all my ills will soon leave me when in his mansion God grants me a place. But that's not going to happen right now. There's no promise that the illness that we have, that the accident we go through, that the problems we may be having in the family, that these will be gone here while we're here on earth. As Paul says, if for this earth only you have joy, you are of all people most miserable. Stanza 4. To God in heaven, all praise be given. Come, let us offer and gladly proffer to the Creator the gifts he doth prize. He well receiveth a heart that believeth. Hymns that adore him are precious before him, and to his throne like sweet incense arise. Yes, this is why in some services, and we had these at the seminary, they would have incense. Now, I know in my congregation, we had a practice on Good Friday that we would eliminate the candles during the service until we got to darkness. And there were some, there was a couple who could not attend those and sit in the front like they usually do because the smoke from the candles actually made them ill. So I do know when I used to attend Roman Catholic services with my grandmother, they used incense often, and it has quite a smell. And it didn't really bother me, and I didn't see anybody getting bothered. You might get used to it, I guess. But the purpose of it is to, in a kind of a metaphor, to show how our sins ascend to God himself. So we are to offer and proffer, which means to give God glory, to give him the gifts he doth prize. Isn't that interesting? You can give him a gift. What? You can give him the gift of your voice. In praying to him, in singing to him. you can give them a gift of your mouth in receiving the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And he well receiveth those because of the heart that believes. And it's even mentioned, hymns that adore him are precious before him, and to his throne like sweet incense arise. This is really a wonderful hymn by Paul Gerhardt. And without Mark here, I got done a little early. So I thought we might want to go ahead and listen to other verses of this. This is sung by Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, Evening and Morning. And it is like done by Paul Gerhardt, who died in 1676, translated by Hermann Brückner, who died in 1942. The hymn is won by Johann Ebeling, who also died the same year Paul Gerhardt did, 1676. So we'll go ahead and listen to a few more verses. That is Evening and Morning by Paul Gerhardt. By the way, in the last 2 days, I received two calls about preaching in the next few weeks. I do need to share with you that I am filled with every Sunday up through October. So if you do want me to be preaching at your congregation, November and December, January, February, still have some weeks left. More importantly, I still am available to do seminars. I might not be able to preach for you on the Sunday, but on Saturdays, I am available for 3-hour seminars of law and gospel. And this is particularly involved, as I like to say, with videos. We got some great videos. We also bring along some products that you might be interested in. And so we would encourage you, if at all possible, to give me a ring or email me. Email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Or phone me at 1-877-267-1962. That's 1-877-267-1962. And we'll be only too happy to talk with you about possibilities. I'm also available during the week, let's say an evening from 7 to 9, on taking a look at those. So I'm only too happy to do it. Just give me a ring. Contact information can be found at my website, lawandgospel101.com. And if you would like to support this program, as we have a bill to pay to KFUO, then please listen carefully after the program is ending here, tells you to make the check out to Law and Gospel and where to send it. God bless.
KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.